Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
I'm telling you, from a psychological standpoint, if the Packers win on Saturday, it's not going to feel great for a while.
Congratulations to the Green Bay Packers. I'm just going to come out and say it. This hurts a little bit. This is a hard thing for a Bears fan to do. It doesn't hurt as much as the NFC Championship game hurt, but it still hurts.
Let's go to Milwaukee and talk with Janet. Hey, Janet, you're on the Score.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Originally from Chicago, but live in Milwaukee now, and it would just be horrendous if the Bears lose. Dealing with the Packers, living here in Packerland, I would suffer. And I'm normally happy-go-lucky, but I wouldn't be.
See, I don't want you to suffer. We don't want you to suffer.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I just couldn't deal with it. It's just the arrogance.
More arrogance. Now if they could just take it and shove it up you know where.
I mean, they've always been beating us up, Ben. But that's why I go to Chicago and watch the games. The vibe there is absolutely amazing.
That's
so anyone
tremendous.
In Wisconsin, go to Chicago and watch the games.
You travel to Chicago to watch the games?
Oh, yeah.
You still got to come through Chicago. I don't care what happens today. Okay, what happened in the other series. Still got to come through Chicago.
I have family still in Chicago because the energy, it feels like, I mean, I'm there every weekend. People think I'm nuts, but I'm like, you know what? This is the vibe that I need.
That's so wonderful. I love
Janet,
that.
Here's the thing.
That's so great.
I want the Bears to win just for you.
Just for Janet.
Just for you.
Just so her days don't suck.
And all of the Janets that are in the listening audience right now.
This one's for all the Janets.
Every Bears fan that's just been quietly hiding in Kenosha.
There's one thing I want to say here tonight. It's only four words. This one's for
Janet.
We're going to go all out for this game.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. And yes, win one for Janet, damn it. We've got a lot that we've got to get done today. We've got a good crew here. Everyone is available. Alex is here. Tanny is here. That man is Matt Spiegel.
I dream of Janet being able to watch the Packers game at home, knowing that the Bears are better. Being able to move on next year when the Packers start, the Bears start, she can make the choice to stay home if she wants, knowing that the Bears not only won the division, but beat him in the playoffs to send him home. Let's go!
Chris Emma's got our Bears hit. He's at Halas as we speak. That'll be at 5 o'clock. John Kuhn will be on the show at 3 o'clock. It's nice to have someone like Janet that felt close enough to us as a show to reach out and be like, guys, it's not fun for me up here. I need to come be with people that like the Bears when I watch this game.
This is the reality of it. It's funny because we were talking about it yesterday. Like, would you go if you could? Football better on TV, but going would be good. And a bunch of people texted in and said, sports bar. Sports bar. You get the random high fives with strangers while also still being able to watch the game and know what's going on. As long as the sound is up enough, as long as you know it's a place that's going to give you what you need in terms of your full viewing experience.
Yeah, the problem is that you have to scout it out. If you're a fan that likes to hear sound, for example, if you're a fan who doesn't want to hear music during the commercial breaks, you got to make sure that the place that you go to watch the game is exactly what you as an individual need.
Yeah. I mean, some of those times we've done the pre and the post up at the Wall in Gurnee has been an outstanding option. I bet our friends over at Real Time Sports will have it up with the sound going down on Saturday night.
I can tell you who's going to have the game. Old Republic.
Go ahead, tell me about it.
Well, I'm not supposed to tell you until later, but I can just tell you right now that
Old Republic Kitchen, wouldn't turn the sound down.
That's right. Old Republic Kitchen and Bar around the road and Route 20 in Elgin, they'll have the game.
We just plugged everything. Absolutely everything.
All right, now we can just, you know, hang out.
Just hang out and do a show.
Yeah.
You were locked in on Matt LaFleur today, the Green Bay Packers coach.
I was. I was really interested in what he had to say. I watched his press conference on Sunday, and that was weird. Alex, by the way, made the absolute correct thought on the beginning of that press conference. The press conference begins with the Packers reporters asking LaFleur about Desmond Ridder, who they've added to the... If you have to get down, if it goes, if love gets knocked out, and Malik Willis gets knocked out, it's too late. It doesn't matter that it's Desmond Ridder who's your third quarterback.
Well, what if Malik Willis is like, I'm good. I'm paid. I'm not going out there. Desmond, get in there, champ.
Malik is
Well, they're in
paid.
Trouble.
They're in trouble.
The old beat reporter in Lawrence Holmes was pissed off at Q&A time being used so much on Desmond Ridder.
6 minutes that LaFleur is up there on, Wednesday?
Yeah.
Is spent on Desmond Ridder?
And you know what's happening now? 30 of our seconds are being used on Desmond Ridder, Alex.
That's
Alex,
a good point.
Be the change, all right?
That's
go
right.
Up there, be like
change.
Be like Pat Finley and go
no,
up there and ask
I just
your
want
own
to complain.
No, it's the truth. But there was something interesting I thought, like, if we're trying to judge like the evolution of Caleb Williams and we see it from one perspective because we're watching every game, how about an opposing coach and one that we all would say has a really good offensive mind in Matt LaFleur? Here's what he says he's seen as far as growth goes with Caleb Williams.
If you'll pardon the out-of-town question, what do you know about Caleb Williams now that maybe you didn't know 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago?
We've seen him grow and progress as the season's advanced, and he's made a lot of big-time plays. He did it, obviously, in our game, both games. Then you see it in San Francisco, and, he just – you got to be very careful when you're playing a player of his caliber in regards to what he is able to do. There's been situations, you see it all over tape, where, oh, there's no way this guy's going to get out of the pocket here. He gets out of the pocket. And then you hear that, you want to keep him in the pocket, and then he's making throws from in the pocket. So I just think he's progressed. And he's developed, and he's playing at a high level right now.
Man, so throws from the pocket that you have to expect him to be able to make. That is a massive difference from what it was. I think the game plan for the entire first half of the year, maybe the first, 12 weeks of the year, and maybe it still is on some level, would be force Caleb Williams to beat you from the pocket. But he can do it. He can do it. Now, didn't you say LaFleur was talking about some of the throws in the San Francisco game, Tanny? Because LaFleur, he's mentioned some of the progress, and I think this was from yesterday when LaFleur was talking about some of the throws that he saw in the Sunday night San Francisco game.
I think both quarterbacks played outstanding football. I mean, that game was back and forth, and there was some great execution. And I always tell our team this, or people in general, like, especially in the pass game, if somebody makes a throw, sometimes there's no defense for the perfect throw. And there were a lot of those in that game.
But that does that also show where Caleb's development is at?
I think so. I mean, he's obviously a very talented quarterback. And there's always a learning curve for all these guys when they come into the league. And I think he's kind of hitting his stride right now. So it's going to be a great challenge for us.
It's kind of wild that even an NFL coach looks at some of the throws that Caleb makes and is like, oh my God,
I can't stop that. Well, but what he's commenting on is the kind of precision offense that is dominating the league right now. What LaFleur does, what Kyle Shanahan does, what Ben Johnson did in Detroit, and they still do. What the Bears are now trying to do. Obviously, what Sean McVay does, right? Lawrence, like these shallow crossers or the deep dagger routes, some of the stuff that you cannot stop. If it is thrown well enough and on time and the patterns are good enough, you can't stop. So the fact that the Bears have a pocket quarterback who is running an offense that can just be lumped in like that, I mean, like, there's a lot of talk about how the rules favor the quarterbacks and make the numbers so good. But wouldn't you also say that offense has outpaced defense in terms of the passing game in the NFL over the last like 15, 20, 25 years? Like, the concepts are largely indefensible
and if
executed
rules.
Well enough. And the rules. But the concepts themselves, it's just way too damn
so
good.
So it's like Miyagi, if done well, cannot defend?
Yeah. Pretty much. That's what he's saying. And
Shout out to Gary Goldman.
Our guy is right there. I love Gary Goldman.
Me too. Big fan.
The Great Depression.
We had him on the station.
Did we?
Yeah. It was funny too, because it was
huge sports guy, funny. former football player.
And basketball player, big hoops guy.
Yeah.
But it was right before COVID. And he had like said that he was so thankful he invited us to his concert that was going to be at the Chicago Theater, and it was in like March of 2020. So there was
gotta miss that.
There was no concerts because there was no nothing back then in the olden times. But now we're in the new times.
We are in the new times.
Let's not stop talking about the Packers. There's more that we need to discuss.
Yeah, there's the rivalry issue as presented to LaFleur. And I couldn't believe that LaFleur was getting mentioned yesterday, and it lived on into today regarding this coaching rumor. Do you?
I was a little surprised, but then thinking back to some of the discussions that we've had with our Packer fan friends that listen,
yeah,
I also was like, oh, it's gotten to that level? So let's discuss that part of it, of the Bears-Packers game, and I wonder if it turns out the way that the Ravens-Steelers game turns out. We'll talk about that next here on The Score.
The signals have been there, hiding in plain sight, since the new Packers president, Ed Policy, said in June, no extensions for LaFleur or Gutekunst before the end of the 2025 season, and I don't like lame duck arrangements. Well, they're signed through 2026, so they're either getting new contracts or they're going to be gone after the season. And until the Packers tell us what they're going to do, we don't know what they're going to do. Is getting to the playoffs enough? And without that seventh playoff spot, the Packers, who have been the seventh seed for the last 3 years in the NFC, they'd be on a four-year streak of no playoffs. LaFleur would already be gone.
That's Mike Florio today.
He was on the muscle.
Giving plenty of oxygen to stuff that we saw in the ether yesterday, and neither one of us gave a lot of credence to this idea that if Matt LaFleur loses on Saturday night, his run as Packers coach could be over so they could go get John Harbaugh.
We did give a lot of Clearwater and revival to it, but no credence. It's very weird to, because Schefter had reported that there were, at the time, there were six openings.
Yeah.
And that seven teams had reached out to John Harbaugh. And
that leaves one with a coach.
Right. That means that somebody's got a coach and they're like, hey, we would like to upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Considering LaFleur's record in Green Bay,
it's crazy to me.
He's won at, what, a 65% clip up there?
And dominated the Bears, but won at a very high clip, successfully navigated the ugliness of the end of Aaron Rodgers and the beginning of Jordan Love. He's got, I mean, he and Love clearly have a thing. He's shown an ability to stay in games and battle, even with Malik Willis. Like,
is 3-5 in playoffs, though.
Okay. All right. I mean, do what you want. Do what you want, Green Bay. I mean, here's the other thing about Harbaugh. Clearly a very good CEO. But that's what you're getting, and you're not getting an offensive mind or a defensive mind still. You're getting a special teams roots guy with 18 years as a CEO, but as a partner with a really good front office with Ozzie Newsome and Eric DaCosta and everybody. You know, I don't know that I sign up for that, to be honest.
It's an interesting little backdrop, and I'm sure that everyone will be reporting on it as we get closer to kickoff. But the idea of, could this be the way that he keeps or loses his job?
I mean, I guess that's what Sunday night was for John Harbaugh.
And maybe for Mike Tomlin, too. We don't know. Like, if it had gone the other way,
bananas,
is that whole thing over with there in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah.
So this thing, I guess you can look at it this way. You could go, well, while you were in charge of the Packers, I saw the Lions, the Vikings, and the Bears pass you up in different seasons. I saw the Vikings have the second best record in the NFL last season.
That's a good point.
I saw the Lions continue to win divisions, and I saw the Bears come out of nowhere and be the number two seed.
You're right. The last 3 years, those three teams have taken turns at times being the class of the division. Right? In terms of being the top, and it hasn't been you.
And if we go back to the beginning of the season, and they make an all-in move, Goody makes an all-in move to bring in Micah Parsons, and for the most part, it worked. But if we go back to week two, there were Packers players talking about going undefeated. And luckily, Matt LaFleur was the voice of reason, being like, guys, we have played two games. What are we doing here? But you had the team that most people thought was going to
dominate the NFC.
Yep.
Run away and hide from the NFC.
And then you have that fart of a football game against Dallas where you end up tying with them, which is the difference between you being in the playoffs and you not being in the playoffs.
Thanks, Flus.
Yeah, way to go, Flus.
Yeah, Flus.
Has Flus gotten hired to be Matt Nagy's defensive coordinator in Tennessee yet? I want that so bad,
well,
mostly for Ryan Poorth.
Who doesn't want all the best for Ryan Poorth? And that seems like it would be just the best case scenario. But, like, wouldn't he follow Matt LaFleur? They're such good buddies watching college games together.
They'd love to have a couple of vodka tonics together and watch a little Marquette basketball, don't they?
How about Matt LaFleur, offensive coordinator under Matt Nagy with Matt Eberflus, defensive coordinator? Get all your Matts together. Put all of them there. Let's go.
Well, if Matt LaFleur goes from the Packers, the Titans would sweep him up in a heartbeat.
Number of teams would.
Yeah.
If they would try to.
A big pile of teams. Speaking of Ryan Poorth, have you shared that that exclusive photo that you found?
The Photoshop?
Of Ryan?
Let's call it a Photoshop.
Is it a Photoshop? I don't know that it was.
I can't tell anymore.
I can't tell either.
It might be AI. All right, but either way, that's not the number one story here. The number one story is Matt LaFleur and your correct contextualization of what it might be like from Carmen Policy's son's perspective up there as the Green Bay boss.
I'm watching Sam Darnold go out here and win 14 games.
Sure, sure. There's all kinds of stuff going on, and you are not winning 14 games. Here's Matt LaFleur today when talking about the rival. How does he feel with a whole bunch of Janets sometimes around him?
I know from afar everybody knows the Bears-Packers rivalry, but when you first got here, was there a moment when, you know, whether it was somebody in town or somebody around where you went, oh my God, this is a big deal here?
Yeah, probably that first summer when I went down to Lake Geneva and I was like, we're in Wisconsin and saw these Bears fans and giving me a hard time. So I also think just when I think back, that was my first game here as a head coach in 2019 it to kick off the season. I just think back to that atmosphere, how crazy, and just the anticipation for the game. It was a great atmosphere.
That sucks because that's the game when the hopes and dreams of 2019 were dispelled like a fart.
That's the game where Matt Nagy dressed up as George Halas.
Oh.
And then they scored, what, 3 points in that game?
Yeah, 10-3 is your final. The Bears went up 3-0.
It was really, really awful.
It was awful.
And Lake Geneva is another one of those battleground cities between the two teams. You know, it's like Rockford. I mean, it's nicer than Rockford. But it's like Rockford in the way that's where a lot of Bears fans congregate, and that's where a lot of Packers fans congregate.
Shout out to those Bears fans giving Matt LaFleur a hard time in Lake Geneva.
Yeah, just trying to have a vodka soda up at the Geneva Inn or have a nice little fish and chips there at Popeyes and some Bears fans going up to him.
Way to go.
His day.
Way to go, Bears fans.
That's good effort.
It's good effort. You're on our team.
I enjoy the local references. Those are good.
Yeah. What do you say we do? We reenact Sherman's March to the Sea from Lake Geneva all the way up to Green Bay if the Bears win this game. Who's with me? Who's with me?
I mean, it took them a long time to recover.
Yeah, that's true.
One would argue that they still haven't.
Down in Georgia?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's maybe a bad idea. We can just go back to harassment at Popeyes. We can keep it simple.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine. Why don't we ask John Kuhn about this? We can ask him about whether or not Matt LaFleur is coaching for his job.
Yeah, and how he'd feel if we harassed him at a Popeyes.
He'd hate it.
See if he got his Lou Malnati's pizza that I sent him.
I don't think he did. He
wanted it supreme.
You sent it to the wrong place.
Good.
And Rami intercepted it. And then gave it to someone at the Bears.
Yeah, because he's a spy.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk with John Kuhn about the Bears-Packers next here on The Score.